Scripture tells us that God is a God of love who is waiting to be gracious unto us. What we need to do is turn to God, admit our lack, and live in expectation of God's forgiveness and with a willingness to be forgiving to others. Please join with me in the litany prayer of confession. From evil, even when it masquerades as good. From selfishness and vain desires. From irresponsible behaviors, quarreling and jealousy. From hurtful disagreements and irreconcilable differences. And also join me in the litany assurance. Laying aside the works of darkness, we live in the light of Christ. Gathered in Christ's name, surely He is among us, full of grace and truth.
In Jesus Christ we are forgiven and lifted up to new life. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Your daily stage of duty, run, shake off dull sloth, and joyful rise to your morning sacrifice.
You may be seated.
I'm going to invite the children to come forward a little differently today, so you need to listen up. If you're a preschooler and your parents told you you're getting a Bible today, you need to come up here and stand in front of the communion table with me right now. Just the kids, the children who are receiving a Bible in preschool, if you would please. That, if you can't see, they're all reading their Bibles. That does my heart good. As you know, this Sunday begins our new church year for spiritual nurture and education. We've invited many of your parents and your friends' parents to be teachers in Sunday school. There's grown-ups who are teaching adult classes and others who are teaching youth classes and others who are teaching our clubs. We have over 40 volunteers helping with us this year. But I was thinking I would like this to make this the very best year possible for learning. So I have a question for each of you. Each of you. Would you be willing to teach this year?
Yes.
Good answer. All right.
I want to do everything.
I know you do. You wouldn't necessarily have to stand up in front of the class and prepare a lesson plan, but you'd have to do some homework. Take your Bible home, if you just got it today, or get your Bibles out that we've already given to you, and read them with your parents. Discuss the questions, and if there's something there that you're trying to figure out together and can't quite figure out, I'd like you to bring it to Sunday school or to WOW Club and ask the question for the whole group. Because if you're struggling with it, so is somebody else. And if you can raise the questions that concern you most, then we'll have a better teaching opportunity for all of us to learn. What's important to you about faith, about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, all of those things? It's just a rhetorical question. You're going to hold on to it, all right? All right. That's a rhetorical means it's a question you don't have to answer. Praying, good answer. All right. All right. That's gonna be next week's. We'll tell your teachers to get ready. So you as teachers are question askers. You help us understand what is important to you and what we all should be talking about and learning about together. So if you are a Sunday school teacher out here or a youth leader or helping with adult classes, would you please grab a Bible and hold it up for us? By saying so, it means that you are ready to learn from the children too, and let them teach with you in Sunday school and clubs and our church this year. Got your Bibles up? All right. Questions are coming. The best year is ahead of us. Let us pray. Oh God, bless all who teach this year and all who learn. May the name of teacher and student become blurred so that when we gather, you teach through each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Would everyone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's all our prayers. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
Would you join with me in our prayer for illumination? Speak to our hearts and minds, Holy God, by your Holy Spirit, make us ready to listen and to follow Christ our Savior. Amen. The Christian scripture reading today is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 10 through 20. It can be found on page 20 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. Listen as the text opens with a parable about a shepherd and a stray sheep and concludes with a lesson concerning a relationship that has gone astray. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of the two to three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I was fortunate yesterday to participate in the Habitat for Humanity house building. I was not originally on the schedule, but got on the schedule, and I'm glad I did. I believe in the mission of Habitat. It's a Christian outreach ministry that I've seen transform many, many lives. When a family moves from a cycle of poverty that they just cannot escape into the empowerment that comes from the process of earning, buying your own home, and then doing what it takes to build that home and then to keep it and care for it, well, it just has wonderful effects. Today, as we begin Sunday school, it's good to remember that lessons learned in Sunday school and church are what kindled the spark in the hearts of Clarence Jordan and Millard and Linda Fuller. Their response to the gospel Their ownership of the stories of Scripture and the call to care for the poor, that's what began the ministry of Habitat for Humanity and has changed truly millions of lives. So why participate in Sunday school with others? Why bring your children to Sunday school? To learn, to take to heart the rhythms of Jesus for each person's own good, and especially to bring the good news of God more fully into the world. When pondering how to get at this text from the Gospel of Matthew, I remembered a church dispute from years ago that had to do with Habitat for Humanity. When I served in Central Illinois, I and members of the congregation where I was pastor were involved in the formation of a Habitat for Humanity affiliate in our county. It became apparent as I and others went around to civic organizations and church boards to tell about Habitat that many people misunderstood the program. Even though we clearly explained the biblical underpinning, the rigorous selection process for the candidate, the down payments of time and money a partner family has to give, the partnership with others required for success, the no-interest mortgage payments, people persisted in believing the houses were given away for free. It was a bit frustrating. For indeed, nothing is given away. No one receives a house for free. Well, it came to a head on the session, our board of elders in the congregation I served. The money proposed as support to Habitat in the mission budget was disputed by Jack, an elder. I and one other elder, Ron, who was on the board for the new Habitat, had already been in several conversations with Jack to explain Habitat. In his heated statement against the mission funding, he used the phrase, "giving away houses for free." Well, my limit had just about been reached. And as I began to open my mouth in rebuttal, thankfully, Ron spoke up gently. "Jack, let's you and I get together. I think we could defer this mission funding for the budget until next month." Thanks be to God for Ron. I would have stuck my foot firmly in my mouth. It would still be there. But this seemed very much in keeping with Matthew 18. Go to your church brother or sister and work it out. Well, Ron and Jack met. Out of the view of anyone else, Ron took Jack around to meet the first Habitat partner family. We hadn't even built our first house yet. He let Jack look at the plans. He helped Jack read about how the program worked. It took several days. What Ron discovered in his conversations was revealing. Jack's father, who had been a farmer like Jack, during the Depression, his father had been unwilling to take the government money that other farmers had taken because he felt it was not fair when so many other people were struggling and suffering who didn't have the opportunity, because they weren't farmers, to receive funding. Now, farming life was hard in those times. If you know any farmers, they'll tell you farming life is hard now. Well, Jack's father had always thought that he had seen some farmers expand and grow while he was laboring on with difficulty, and he was convinced it was because they had received money that he felt they did not deserve. So this hurt from his father had been passed down, and it created a bias in Jack against undeserved, what he thought was undeserved, charity. Well, this was new and important information, a real insight into Jack's heart. Ron would never have known this if he had doubled down that night at the session meeting and insisted on a session vote that would surely have come out in favor of what Ron wanted and what I wanted. Most of the time, when I hear people use this passage from Matthew, they seem interested in how it might serve to prove themselves right or to put a troubling dispute out in the open. It might be a fast track to get rid of a troublemaker or a sinner, or certainly put them in their place. Well, that seems like a misreading, a misapplication. For isn't this a process of openness to someone with whom we have had a falling out? Notice, it's not the person who has offended who is to seek out the person that they have hurt. I mean, in our way of thinking, it's up to the person who's done wrong to come and apologize. But in this passage, it's the one who sees a sister or a brother taking a wrong path, even if it's been a path that has hurt them personally, who takes the initiative to seek help for the offender. This is why the parable about the shepherd and the lost sheep fits so well here. It dovetails right with this passage. The lost sheep may be descriptive of someone who's isolating themselves by means of their actions and their choices. The shepherd cares about this lost and wandering one and goes out to that one in hope of restoration. I think this raises the question for us in our modern era of who we are as the church. Are we a collection of autonomous individuals, not only here, but wherever the church is? Or are we a covenant family? We are not to be individuals who are free from each other, but we are souls who are free because of each other, because of and through who we are to be in Jesus Christ. Whenever we come together, we do so with that nice promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus teaches, this brings him into the midst of that gathering. When we are broken from each other, the presence of Jesus works for reconciliation, to bring each person out to a new place in relationship to the other through the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to say that this story about Habitat and all ended with a sweet ending, but for all his efforts, Ron was not completely successful. Despite a heartfelt invitation, Jack did not volunteer with Habitat to help build that first house. In fact, Jack never volunteered to build with Habitat. Ever after, Jack never seemed entirely comfortable with the mission of Habitat. When the mission budget came around again, Jack did not oppose Habitat's inclusion. But Ron taught us a lesson that grace and forgiveness and the understanding those gifts make available are what is embedded in the process laid out in the gospel. Jesus must have taught a way of relating that did not leave only winners and losers, but a renewed, caring community. There's also a warning here for those of us who undertake to correct our neighbor, that we might become offenders ourselves if we engage in spiritual arrogance or judgmentalism or plain old hypocrisy. It's a strange thing, Jesus says, that if all else fails, we view the one with whom we have broken like a Gentile or a tax collector, which sounds like permission to shun that person. But certainly in these days, When someone is likely over a hurt or a fault or a dispute to leave the church, we are to understand that these words, in fact, are marching orders to reach out with understanding and empathy to any with whom we have broken or whom others we love and care about have broken with. Once when I was over at Ron's house, that elder who was on the Habitat board, he showed me something in a little glass case over on the wall of his den. Something that seems like a relic of a bygone era. He was quite proud of it. It was attendance pins from Sunday school. Sunday school attendance pins from many years. This man, a railroad engineer, a military veteran, not someone you would pick out in a crowd as a churchy-looking person. He embodies to this day a grace that's deep with understanding and a willingness to realize that he does not know it all and he is not what it is all about. Ron lives out the truth that we should seek and reach for God, not only in some abstract or purely spiritual way, but especially in the everyday things that pass between people, especially in the church. Why should we come to Sunday school? Why should we bother to bring our children here to learn? It's to learn how to live as God means for us to live in this world, and even learn how to fight so that the light may come through dispute and understanding God's light to give life to the world. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us turn to our prayers. Grateful for those who serve around the world in the military and for Devin and her good work. The Harmonsburg Church is in our prayers. That is the church that was arsoned a number of years ago and they've rebuilt. For those who grew up at Sarah Hearn, you might be glad to know that the baptismal font from that church that was closed is now in the Harmonsburg Church. And so it's a fun part of our background history to see that again, to know that it's being used and blessed in other areas. George Johnson, we're grateful for his service and honorably retired in our presbytery. We pray God's blessing on him this day. A team of our presbytery are in Ghana, a wonderful ministry with very energetic people. People are coming to the church in such great numbers that people stand outside the windows to listen. There's only a handful of pastors, I think around 9, that serve the presbytery, and we have provided computers and motorcycles to help get them around if they travel and take care of all the churches. So it's quite a remarkable ministry. We pray God's blessing that good things come of this gathering this time. We continue to pray for those in Texas who have experienced Harvey and those who are now dealing with Irma. Certainly, we lift them all up in our prayers and pray God's care. Let us prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, a storm like Irma demands our attention and pondering. Such magnitude and strength is a fearful power. As the psalmist observed, you are majestic and fearsome. Our frailty and shortness of life makes us well aware of our limits and humble place in the universe. We can no more stop a powerful wind or a giant wave than we can lift a mountain. Yet we believe you put the ranges in their place. So though you created a fearsome world, so too you said you loved it and all that is within. From the beginning of time, you have been with us. And to that promise, we take heart today for those who live in the path of Irma. Be with your people, their pets, and their homes as they weather the storm. There are good people in other places far from Erie that we wonder about this day. We ask that you guide the presbytery team in Ghana in their conversations with those good people. Be with Devon and her ministry in Philadelphia. Bless the Harmonsburg congregation as they gather for worship. And be with George Johnson throughout his day. And the folks in Texas have moved their lives forward a little, but still need much help. May they be blessed in some new way this day. We begin a new church year today. Rarely do we begin with such difficult questions of faith. May the scriptures come alive in our questions and feelings of dissonance, for we struggle to make sense of our world. Bless our adults and teens and children as they engage one another in dialogue, study, and prayer. Close to home here, we pray also for those who are sick or face surgery. Grant them your healing presence. We celebrate the marriage of Tim and Karen and pray that they find great joy in their life together. Hear now our personal prayers of petition and thanksgiving as we pray silently. As Jesus prayed, so do we this day, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Not all offerings are the same. Sometimes an offering is a question. What do I believe about being a disciple? Where am I needed? How can I serve? What is God calling me to be? Sometimes our offering is a prayer for another. Sometimes our offering is vegetable for soups or a box of cereal for the food pantry. Sometimes our offering is from our financial resources. Whatever they may be, they're always from our hearts.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Holy Spirit, give life to our gifts, that they may open eyes, bless hearts, heal wounds, inspire faith, feed hungry mouths, shelter uncovered heads, tear down walls, bring people together, spread your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Let all God's people say, Amen.
Friends, let us go from this place empowered by the Spirit of the one who seeks to draw us together, to mend broken relationships, to reconcile us to one another and to God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and forever. Amen.